Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, everyone. It's a real pleasure to be here in Alachua, such a famous community, not just in America, but in the world. I've heard so much about it and met so many devotees from the community over the years, but it's actually my first time visiting here. So I thank everyone for allowing me to be here, particularly Mukhya Maharaji. Adikarjapur has really helped us a lot. We're traveling around America right now. We arrived about three and a half weeks ago into Texas, visited Sadhu Sangha Festival. We're in Atlanta, New Taliban, and now we're here in Florida. We just, last night we were in Tampa. I just did the Sunday feast in D-Land and rushed here to make it in time for this Alachua Sunday feast. Before I begin, I want to beg the blessings. There's so many amazing senior devotees here in this community upon whose hard work, sacrifices, blood, sweat, and tears that these temples and communities have grown and developed over so many decades. And devotees like me are enjoying the fruits of that. So before I say anything, I request the blessings of all of those senior devotees. I was reflecting when I walked into the temple room for the first time a few days ago. I just felt this Prabhupada consciousness. It's subtle. It's quite obvious also, but I just felt drawn to Prabhupada. I felt my consciousness naturally drawn to Prabhupada. So when I was thinking about what to say today, I was just reflecting on once, actually Shruti Rupa Maharaji tells this story. She says that once she was with Prabhupada and Tamal Krishna Maharaj walked in. And he said, "Prabhupada, Prabhupada, we have your green card." Prabhupada had to work really hard to get a green card for America, of course. So it was great news. Prabhupada had got the green card. So Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "Immigration is cleared, customs are cleared, you're ready to go, you have your green card, everything's good." And Prabhupada closed his eyes and he began to cry. And he said that he felt so indebted to America. America's given him everything. America gave him manpower, gave him Lakshmi, gave him so much facility to preach Krishna consciousness. So he was so grateful. So then Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, "Prabhupada, once you said that you're like a cow, and the devotees around you are milking you. And as long as the devotees are milking, you'll continue to give milk. But how is it that you don't dry up? You never dry up, Prabhupada." And then Prabhupada said, "That's because I'm a Sarabi cow." Yeah? Constantly giving milk, always giving milk. So Prabhupada was really, he really gave blood, sweat and tears. He was sitting in Vrindavan, so peaceful and happy and satisfied. I mean, you know, Prabhupada's Prabhupada. Anywhere he was happy and satisfied, but he was in Vrindavan. What else do you need? Especially Vrindavan 50 years ago, such a haven. It still is, of course. But he came to give Krishna consciousness to the world and built wonderful communities such as these, and ended up in the Lower East Side, preaching in such an atmosphere, such an environment, such a foreign environment. Once Prabhupada was, I think it was his first visit to the grocery store, and you know, it was quite a new experience. You know, India, especially 50, 60 years ago, didn't really have grocery stores, not quite like ours in the West. So he went to the grocery store, he got whatever he wanted, and then he went to the cashier. And they scanned everything, and whatever, it came to $4.25. So then Prabhupada said, "How about three?" And the cashier said, "Sorry, sir, $4.25. No bargaining here." And Prabhupada had, you know, disgruntled, had to hand over $4.25. It was just such a new experience. Mukunda Maharaj tells his story. He says once he was with Prabhupada in a car, and Prabhupada had an apple. So he took a few bites from the apple, and out of his great mercy, he gave his disciple his remnants. And so Mukunda Maharaj didn't quite know what was happening. So he took the apple, took a few bites, and then gave it back to Prabhupada. and Prabhupada is, they don't know anything, you know? So, you know, it was such a foreign environment for Srila Prabhupada. And it was tough. I heard one story where there was one young Maharaji, she was so enamored by Prabhupada. Once she went up to Prabhupada, and in all seriousness, she said, "Prabhupada, can I marry you?" And Prabhupada was just, imagine. So the austerities that Prabhupada went through in order to create, to form, to mold the Krishna consciousness society, very, very difficult to understand. But he engaged so many devotees, and he was expert at engaging devotees in various wonderful ways. So once an individual called Howard came to visit, and he started attending the programs, and Prabhupada felt he was serious enough in order for him to be engaged in some form of serious service. So Prabhupada gave him his manuscript, his Bhagavad Gita manuscript. He had written it, and then there were also corrections. So he gave it to Howard. He was an English major or English professor, something like that. He later became Hayagriva. So maybe someone knows his exact qualification, I'm not sure what it was. And so he gave him this manuscript, and he brought it back a few days later, perfectly typed up, proofread. It was exactly what Prabhupada wanted. So Prabhupada was so happy, so satisfied. So then Howard, at that time, asked, "Is there anything more that I can do?" So Prabhupada said, "Come with me." And then he opened a cupboard, and this cupboard was full of manuscripts. Prabhupada was, you know, he was writing and writing and writing. While we were sleep, well, you know, while devotees were sleeping, Prabhupada was writing. And Howard, just his eyes opened wide. He said, "That's a whole lifetime's work." Prabhupada said, "No, many lifetimes' work." And so from there, Howard began to, you know, process the manuscripts, and played a pivotal role in producing the Bhagavad Gita in those early days. So many devotees made so many wonderful sacrifices to form this Krishna conscious movement. And as we said, so Srila Prabhupada wanted to give his fundamental purpose. You know, when he left India, of course we all know that he had very basic necessities with him. You know, he had, but he brought with him a key means through which he planned to preach Krishna consciousness, and that was the Srimad Bhagavatam. So he brought with him 200 sets of the first canto, which was in three parts, and it was the facsimile version, which was published by the BBT, I think 10 or 15 years ago. It's very beautiful. So this was the first version of the Bhagavatam Prabhupada brought to the West. He says in one verse translation, the very means of conquest. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the very means of conquest. And Srila Prabhupada very much exemplified that. This was his key tool by which he planned to give Krishna consciousness to the Western world. Paschata desha tarine. He wanted to liberate the Western world with the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Brahman Bhavanandapur tells a story. He says that once he was with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada revealed, he said that he was with Krishna. I'm sure many of you will know this story, but I love it, so I'll tell it again. He says he was with Krishna, and Krishna said, "I want you to go down there and to preach Krishna consciousness, to give, to liberate the people down there in that particular earth planet. And Prabhupada said, no, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go down there. But Krishna was determined. He really wanted Prabhupada to go. So he made that very clear. And in order to persuade him, he said, I'll arrange everything. You'll have temples, you'll have disciples, you'll have Lakshmi, you'll have everything you need. Just go there, write the books, and then come back. So this was Prabhupada's mission. This was his fundamental mission, to provide this particular planet with his books, the Bhaktivedanta purports, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and of course so many books we have, over 60 volumes. But of course, as we hear all the time, Prabhupada didn't just write these books. I mean, he came from Goloka with this mission in mind, but he came not just to write these books, but so that these books could be distributed profusely, and that his distributed to outsiders, but his devotees, his followers, would read, study, and know these books like a lawyer knows law books, his law books. And as we read and study these books, we see that they're multi-layered, multifaceted. They speak to the beginner in Krishna consciousness, and they speak to the Paramahamsa. And that's very hard to do. You know, if anyone's ever tried writing, it's quite a task. But to provide one literature, not a series of books for different gradations. Usually if you go to school or university, there are various different textbooks for different grades of individual. And that's natural. You know, if you're 5 or 6 year old, there's one grade. If you're 7 to 7 or 8, there's another. 10 to 11, another, and so on. Srila Prabhupada gave one book, Bhagavad Gita, say, or the Bhagavatam, and it speaks to everyone according to the consciousness that they have. That's masterful. It's transcendental. It's not of this world. Because these literatures are non-different to Krishna. So we say, Abhinnatvam nama nami no, the holy name is non-different to Krishna. In the same way, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the holy literatures, they are non-different to Krishna. And therefore, according to the consciousness of the reader, they will reciprocate. Yeyatamam pribadante tam sataiva vichamiham. According to how we approach Krishna, Krishna reciprocates. And therefore, I've read and studied the Gita over the years, and I remember what I was understanding 20, 25 years ago, and what I understood 10 to 15 years ago. And when I pick it up now, I understand something a little more, hopefully. And I'm sure and I hope that in the future, as we deepen and strengthen our Krishna consciousness, a deeper and deeper experience will come. These are very powerful books, and therefore, as followers of Srila Prabhupada, we have to take the time to really engage with, give quality time and attention to these texts, which Srila Prabhupada pored over, sacrificed so much. He would sleep 2 hours a day, and at night time was a peaceful time. If anyone's involved in management, then you know that daytimes are always busy. There's always things which drag you away, especially in the Krishna consciousness movement. So many emergencies and things come up. So nighttime was a time when Prabhupada would just really focus on writing. And ultimately he came from the spiritual world in order to give us these books. I joined. One of the main reasons why I wanted to join the temple is because I was working in a banking job in London. I was working 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 hours a day sometimes. 12 was the norm. And when there was a project, then it could increase. And I thought, how am I ever going to become Krishna conscious in this kind of an environment with this kind of a lifestyle. My plan was that I would work, and the only reason anyone does banking is because you earn a lot of money. And with that Lakshmi, we could help some projects in the Krishna consciousness movement. But then I thought, but how about me? How about me actually becoming Krishna conscious? And therefore I decided to change my track a little in life. And becoming a fundamental part of becoming Krishna conscious meant to read and study these books, to really understand what the philosophy is, to really imbibe that, to live it. And therefore I joined the temple. I'm not sure how successful I've been at really imbibing those literatures, but it's a work in progress, and it's so fundamentally important. I find reading and studying Prabhupada's books, it reforms the consciousness, restructures the way I think, the way we look at the world, the way we process and respond to various stimuli. It's what's life without those books? And I think it's very important because ultimately, what did Prabhupada want from us? Prabhupada wanted us to become lovers of Krishna. Prabhupada wanted us to fall in love with Krishna. And the Bhagavad Gita gives the words of Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam gives the activities, the pastimes of Krishna. And the Chaitanya Charitamrita really provides us with insight into the mind of Krishna. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different to Krishna. He is Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. So these key books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, provide us with great insight into what it means to really love Krishna. And that's really what Krishna is looking for. He doesn't need anything else. He has everything. He's the one that's given us everything. We say in English, I don't know if you use this in America, even the shirt on our back. You know, that means everything we have. Our intelligence, our ability to walk and talk and think and speak, smell, hear, see, taste. Everything is given by Krishna. And all Krishna is looking for, he has a price. All he's looking for is love. That's all he wants. Yo patram pushpam phalam toyam yo me bhaktya prayachati. He has everything. We don't need to offer Krishna a big house, a big car, this and that, anything material, because he's the one that's given us all of those things. What Krishna really wants, and therefore he says, patram pushpam phalam toyam, a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, whatever it may be, the simplest things which anyone can offer, but offer these with love. Yome bhaktya prayachati. That's the key ingredient. That is what Krishna is really looking for. So somehow we have to cultivate our love. And for those devotees who have been practicing for some time, then it's easy to get into the consciousness of doing. There is so much to do in the Krishna consciousness movement. So many projects, so many activities, so many things that we have to actually do with our hands and feet. That's Jeshta Rup Bhakti. But then there is also Bhava Rup. So one thing is the activity, but then another thing is the consciousness that goes along with that activity. So the Cheshta Rup is the activity, the Bhava is the mood, the consciousness that goes with that activity. So very often the trap that we can fall into is that we're doing many things and our sense of achievement or accomplishment is based on our external endeavors and our external achievements. Someone may distribute many, many books, collect lots of funds for temple construction or management, maybe an expert manager, sing great kirtan, whatever it may be, clean the floor wonderfully, So whatever the activity may be, you may do it amazingly, but what Krishna is really interested in is the consciousness with which we do it, the mood, the bhava rupa bhakti. So how do I approach Krishna? To what degree am I doing this for his satisfaction rather than for my own? And that's something which really requires cultivation. And the more we become attached to Krishna, the more we have a connection with that person. We have to take Krishna from the idea of being just a concept. He's God. He's a supreme personality of Godhead. He is the sarva karana karanam, the cause of all causes. He has to become, go from that position to becoming a person. Someone who we can have a relationship with. We have to re-establish our loving relationship with Krishna. How do we do that? This is where Srila Prabhupada's books are so fundamental, because gradually, if we look at the Srimad Bhagavatam, cantos 1 to 9 are a gradual progression and a preparation of the consciousness to understand that Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He does and has done so many amazing, wonderful things. The creative process is described to greater or lesser degrees 5 times in cantos 2 and 3. What is the purpose of that? The purpose is to establish in our minds and hearts Krishna's God, and we are dog, you know. We're his servants. Krishna's a supreme, and we have to be subservient to him. And then we hear about his wonderful, amazing incarnations and their activities. Again, it's establishing the same point so that the Aishwarya is established. We don't make the mistake of becoming too familiar with Krishna. And then ultimately we become prepared to enter into the 10th canto, which is providing that insight into Krishna's wonderful sweetness. And that's why we're introduced at the beginning of the 10th canto to Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes, because they're laced with sweetness. We just hear about how wonderful, loving, sweet, charming Krishna is. And at a certain point in an individual's Krishna consciousness, they go from being in this mood of awe and reverence towards Krishna to just being in wonder. You know what I mean by wonder? How wonderful Krishna is. How sweet he is. How charming he is. How much I love to hear about him. How much I love to just hear about him, look at pictures of him, and talk about him to others. That's Krishna. That's Krishna consciousness. And that is the progression of the Bhagavatam. So, ultimately, this is what Prabhupada wanted us to do, to become mad after Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says, Yuvati nam yatha yuni, yunam cha yuvato yatha, mano bhiramate tadvan, mano me ramatam tvai. He says, just like a young boy's mind naturally, involuntarily, irrevocably flows towards a young girl, just like a young girl's mind flows irresistibly towards a young boy, Rupa Goswami says, please, O Krishna, allow my mind to flow irrevocably towards you. You and only you. Nothing else, no one else. So this is the goal of Krishna consciousness. This is what we have to aspire to. This is what we have to work to cultivate. I want to love Krishna. This has to be the goal of our lives. So I see when I speak to young children, I ask them, what do you want to be when you grow up? And many times, like me when I was young, you know, you have so many ideas. At one point I wanted to be a policeman. Then I wanted to be a firefighter. Then I wanted to be an aeroplane pilot. And then at a certain point, I became fixed on being a banker. So, you know, we have so many ideas and concepts. But the first and foremost thing that we need to implant, Komarama Charit Pragyo Dharman Bhagwataniha Prahlad Maharaj, is to describe youth. Prahlad Maharaj was 5 years old. That's the time that an individual is so impressionable, and they need to be implanted with that seed of Krishna consciousness, with the seed of pure devotion. And therefore, the first and foremost aspiration has to be, I want to be a pure devotee of Krishna. I want to be a lover of Krishna. And everything else is secondary. Yeah, sure, maybe you've got to have a career. That career may be a full-time devotee also. That should also be an option. It seems to be going out of the window in the Krishna consciousness movement that an individual, a young man or a young woman, can give their life to the Krishna consciousness movement. That's what Prabhupada wanted. That's what he established in those early days. Devotees not doing anything else. That's why farm communities are there, so then we can be off the grid, self-sufficient, not reliant on so many external influences. When you're working, you have to engage with so many different types of people, and their consciousness invariably affects ours. I experienced it when I was working also. It's not an ideal situation. It's not an ideal environment to cultivate Krishna consciousness. You may get paid, but they suck you dry. Right? There's no free lunches in this world. There's a price to pay. And so Prabhupada's was a real missionary mood. Really revolutionary. Tadvag visargo janataga viplavo yasmin pratishokam abhadavati api. This Bhagavatam's function, focus, was to bring about a revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. A revolution in the impious lives of the world's misdirected civilization. We have to harness, maintain, and develop that missionary mood, that missionary spirit. And I feel that will really satisfy Srila Prabhupada. And alongside that, there's a mission without, a mission in the world outside, and then there's a mission in within. And that mission within is, as we said, to just love Krishna. Prabhupada said, what's the difficulty? Just love Krishna. Just love Krishna. He made it sound so easy, just to love Krishna. And somehow that has to become our burning aspiration, our burning desire. And so with that in mind, Srila Prabhupada also wanted his followers to write. And so the reason right now I'm in America is because we're just sharing with the devotees the books of my spiritual master, Srila Shivaram Swami Maharaj. He's based in Hungary, for those who don't know him. And he's writing. For the past 30 years, he's been writing various books. But now he's stepped back from various aspects of management and so on, simplified life to a degree, and he's writing books for the benefit of the devotees, to help and facilitate them to love Krishna, to know about Krishna, to know about Krishna's name, form, abode, associates, qualities, and pastimes, more and more and more. And the more we know about him, the more we hear about him, the more we speak about him, the more that connection develops, the more that natural loving propensity, nitya siddha Krishna prem, sadhaka bunai, is so natural to us. It's just we've forgotten. The conditioned living entity is forgotten. But the most natural thing is to love Krishna. And so to reawaken that, he's written these books, and we're here to share those books. So as Mukhya Maharaji said, in the vendors area, devotees can find those books. So we're just going to play a little video where Maharaj is speaking a little bit about those books, which you can find over there. and it will kind of give you a little more, a bit of an introduction to them. So, yes, please. Thank you very much.
Nava Raja Mahima and Krishna and Vrindavan series in box sets. So first off, Hare Krishna, I'm here accompanying Ananda Chaitanya Prabhu to introduce to you our latest literary offering. This comprises of two sets of books, Nava Raja Mahima and Krishna in Vrindavan series in box sets. So first I'll explain a little what Nava Raja Mahima is about. It's in 9 volumes, and the underlying inspiration is Srila Prabhupada's Krishna book. It contains 600 of my favorite pastimes, of course, of Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. And it's projected onto the canvas of New Vrajadham, hence we call it Nava Vraja Mahima. The 9th volume is a map book that describes the places in which all of these pastimes took place. This is not a children's book, but like Krishna book, it's for children, for adults, for paramahansas, and for beginners. And like Krishna book, there's quite a minimum of philosophy. This book took me 5 years to write, so 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. And of course, the production is really high grade. We have first class paper, gold edging, gold blocking on the artificial leather cover. There are 400 pieces of art within the book, and these books will certainly last you many, many lifetimes. Okay, then let me describe Krishna in Vrindavan. And this is based on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, Krishna's presence in Vrindavan from 1st to the 39th chapter. Again, the foundation is Srila Prabhupada's own commentaries, as well as those of other acharyas. What's the goal of these books? It's to deepen our absorption in Krishna by hearing his pastimes. The books which are in the set include Song of the Flute, Venu Gita, Napareham, Krishna leaving Vrindavan and returning, Damodar Leela, binding Krishna. And while sometimes people ask who is qualified to hear, the answer is certainly anyone can read these books, as anyone can read Srila Prabhupada's books. But we've written 2 books that underline the adhikar, or the qualification for reading, and that is Srila Bhakti Chintamani and Sankalpa Komudi. These books then culminate in Vilapkusumanjali, which is the book which I have just written or writing, and that is a commentary on Raghunath Das Goswami's book of the same name. Our purpose here is not to make money. The books themselves are actually subsidized. They do cost quite a bit to write. And our real purpose, my purpose, is that this is my bhajan, and hopefully those who read it, it will be their bhajan. Moreover, Srila Prabhupada wanted us to hear about Krishna because he wanted us to be mad after Krishna. Now, how do you become mad in love after somebody? Well, you have to know them. And how do you know them? Well, you hear about them. You hear about Krishna's beauty, his qualities, his pastimes, associates. This, Srila Prabhupada said, is our family business. Writing books, printing them, reading them. And Prabhupada wanted us to replace all the non-Krishna conscious literature of the world with Krishna conscious literature. He wanted his followers to write. As a member of ISKCON, I'm making this an ISKCON-friendly book, they're directly written for devotees of our society. So I consider that this is my service to Krishna, to Srila Prabhupada, to you and your family, and humbly request that you take a set of these books, read them, gift them to others. It's a limited edition print, won't be always available. And finally, I'd like to invite you all to visit us in New Brajadam and see where Radha Shyama Sundar are currently enacting all the pastimes that we are writing about in these books. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Are there any comments, questions, corrections? Yes, Prabhu. Mike.
You mentioned something about Chaitanya Charitamrita is the mind, and then what were the other two?
Sure. So the Bhagavad Gita is the words of Krishna. Krishna directly speaks those words. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the activities of Krishna. We learn so much about his pastimes. And Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's ecstasies in separation in Gambhira. That's the epitome of Krishna's mind. Krishna also feels great separation from his devotees. I read in one of Prabhupada's purports that there's two plays that Rupa Goswami wrote. Of course, it was going to be one play, but Radharani told him to split it into two. And those two plays were Vidagdha Madhava and Lalita Madhava. And I read that Vidagdha Madhava is Krishna about Krishna in Vrindavan, and Lalita Madhava is Krishna in Dwarka. And I automatically thought, well, who's interested in Lalita Madhava? I'm going to read Vidagdha Madhava when I'm ready. But then when I read, eventually, some years later, when I read Lalita Madhava, I was amazed. Because actually, that gives an even deeper insight into Krishna. Because it's Krishna and how he feels about his devotees, the Rajvasis, and the deep separation that he feels from them. And that reveals another aspect to Krishna and his mind, his heart, his separation, his yearning, his suffering in separation from the Rajvasis. And we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu really enact that, particularly in the Gambhira, at night times when everything was relaxed and not so many external things going on, then his mind would naturally flow towards Krishna in separation, and he would exhibit the same ecstasies, which aren't even in scripture. They're so unique, so profound. There's Mahabhav, and there's various stages of Mahabhav. There's eight stages of prema, and the topmost of those is Mahabhav, and that has its own categories. Mahabhav itself has its own categories. Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimati Radharani, Krishna, you know, saying, only they experience these. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was exhibiting. So we get great insight into the mind of Krishna in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Thank you. Yes, Machi.
I just wanted to thank you for sharing this part of your life story and the big transition from being a banker to a full-time devotee. I think so many of us, you know, sometimes feel that we'll make the money, like you were mentioning, you know, your thought process, and then I'll be able to use that for different projects. But to be able to make that big leap of faith, that big jump into just going for it, you know, going for the love of Krishna is so wonderfully ecstatic. So just wanted to thank you for sharing that with us.
Thank you very much, Machi. It's very kind of you. Such a long way to go. Like George Harrison says, right? What does he say? How does it go? It takes so long, right? But there's Krishna at the same time gives so much mercy and inspiration along the way. And I made a few good decisions in my life. And this was definitely one of them. Prabhupada said so many times, just give this one life to Krishna. Just give this one life to Krishna. And I thought, why not? So many lives where we've done so many other things, so many other activities, so many different forms of life. This time we've got the human form of life. We've got Srila Prabhupada as our guide and master. We have wonderful, for those who are in the second generation, so many wonderful spiritual masters to guide us. A wonderful mission and movement. So I thought, why not? And, you know, I'm still young, Mataji. You know, I beg the blessings, especially of the seniors, that we can continue and serve Srila Prabhupada. And just like he wanted to do, he wanted to die on the battlefield. So we also want to, you know, try and follow in his, in whatever small way we can, follow in his very illustrious footsteps.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Nice lecture. Thank you very much. What I'd like to say is that, you know, I started reading Shiva Ramaswamy's books myself when they first came out in 1999, and it really did change my life, honestly speaking. And I was so impressed by the book that I had to go to Hungary to see Shiva Ramaswamy. I already knew him since 1980, but until he wrote that book, I didn't realize what a great devotee he was. So I went to the farm in Hungary, and the farm was also, to my mind, the most beautiful project in ISKCON. I hate to say it, yeah, but that's what I feel. It's a beautiful place. If you can afford to go to Hungary, go visit the farm. But anyway, I love the books, and I think Shiva Ramaswamy is doing a great service because, you know, Prabhupada, he wanted his disciples to write books, and the Rupa Goswami, the Goswamis, they wrote so many books, and Prabhupada wanted us to know the philosophy. He wanted us to actually become very learned. He wanted that the reason they wrote the books, the Goswamis, was to shower love upon the residents of the material world. But there's so many books to read, it's hard to read them all, along with Prabhupada, we have to read Prabhupada's books too. But Shiva Ramaswamy is a genius because he condenses not all of the information, but a lot of the information in the Goswami's books. He synthesizes it and he picks out the most important points and he writes these amazing books. And everything he says is backed up by quotes from different scriptures. He's not making anything up whatsoever. So, you know, if you have Prabhupada's books and you have a little extra money, the books are over there, they're beautiful books. They decorate the home. They have the most beautiful pictures. Gandharvaka, she was one of, if not the best artist that ever lived in Alachua. Alachua is the biggest community in America. She painted beautiful pictures. Her last paintings were done specifically at the request of Shiva Ramaswamy to decorate his books. And she died meditating on, you know, the pastimes of Radha Krishna and painting the beautiful, the paintings that were stunning. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Yeah, we have a little art book which showcases some of the art in the books, and it's just at least my favorite paintings, and most of them are Gandharvika Maharaji's paintings. They're absolutely out of this world, and they really transport you to the spiritual world and support the writing in doing the same. So that's the purpose, that's the idea. Again, I want to thank everyone for your kind attention, and I wish everyone a wonderful afternoon, evening. Krishna Matirastu, may everyone be Krishna conscious. Yes, please.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. Next time you come with time more. Stay with us. I appreciate your realization on bhakti that you mentioned about the Chesta Rupa and Bhava Rupa. I hope everybody could catch it. that favorable attitude, developing devotional characteristics, consciousness, pure loving consciousness behind the activities is very important. And that's what Alachua community trying. And thank you for elaborately defining that way. And thank you. I really appreciate your mature understanding.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki, Shri Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki, Shri Shri Krishna Balaram ki, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki, Nitai Gaur Premanandi.